Robot Building Supplies. They've got it and deliver. Robotbuildingsupplies.com.au.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Welcome back to Dwayne's World. 1-300-736-736 is the number. Come to your calls very shortly. The great Doug Walters is also about to join me. Our community is doing it incredibly tough right now. Small businesses trying to navigate through unseen economic challenges. And together with the Australian Institute of Business, aib.edu.au, Australia's number one online MBA provider at SEN, we've launched the SEN Small Business Grant Initiative. Grants of up to $100,000 available in lots of $5,000 for an SEN advertising campaign. Simply tell us why your business needs a helping hand at sen.com.au/grants. Thanks to the support of the Australian Institute of Business. We couldn't do it without them. And you can study with Australia's number one online MBA provider, the experts in online learning. You can enrol today at aib.edu.au. Doug Walters is about to join me. We'll also play a little bit of Paul Marsh talking about the difference between AFL footballers and cricketers, who, as the CEO, he has managed both sports and seen the differences between the two when it comes to staying apart from family. That was from Footy Classified last night. Doug Walters is on the line. He's joining me for Dometic Mobile Living Made Easy. Firstly, welcome to you, Doug. It's great to have you on the program. For those people who don't know, I could read out Doug Walters' stats. Test debut was 65 at the Gabba against England, 74 tests at an average of 48, highest test score of 250. But I think I'd rather introduce him as everything you ever wanted to be as an Australian when you were a kid. You looked at Doug Walters and you thought, that's the Aussie hero in a nutshell. And it is nice to be able to talk to you, Doug. Thanks a lot for your time.
My pleasure, Dwayne. How are you doing?
I'm doing extremely well. And how are you doing, more importantly? Are you doing okay? You're staying indoors and are you feeling safe?
Well, I am feeling safe, but I'm getting a little bit, sick of being locked up, I guess. But I'm not the only one that's getting sick of doing that, that's for sure.
What are you doing to entertain yourself? I think your days of hitting a cricket ball against the wall, against the bottom of the water tank with a stump are gone, or hitting a ball on the end of a long stocking hanging from the ceiling, they're gone. What are you doing?
No, well, thank goodness they're still racing. That's filling in my day. I'm watching the racing. That's about all we can do now. That's about the only sport that we've got to watch anyway, or a live sport.
If you could get one other sport back, Doug, what's your true love outside of that? Is it cricket, or have you got something else you love just as much?
Oh, I pretty much enjoy all sport, really. I don't have a favourite one above another, but any live sport I really enjoy. I mean, I've been sitting down of a night watching a lot of past games and matches and things like that. But when you know the result before it comes on, it's a little bit different, isn't it?
Absolutely. They're not going to change to edit the replay for you to give you a different result. Doug, you were away on lots of tours. What's the longest you went on a tour away from your family?
Well, my first tour was to England in 1998. That was 2 days short of 7 months.
And that was the first time that they flew both directions.
Yep.
And 69-70, rather, the next year we went to, on a combined tour of, in those days, Ceylon, India, South Africa, and that was 2 days longer than 7 months. So it was, not a good time to be married at that time.
So how did your family just bought in, because that was your profession, even though it wasn't, it was for fun and a profession?
Yeah, well, I guess so. I mean, we never had a family until I was pretty close to retiring from cricket, so we didn't have the kids to worry about. But, it's harder on the wives and the family than the guys, of course, because the guys have got great company with them all the time.
And how often would you phone home? How often would you, ring your parents, for example? Would it be like once a week you'd make the weekly phone call, or how often? Because phones weren't as readily available back in those days either.
No, pretty much that was about it. And it was reverse phone calls in those days, reverse the charges. We couldn't really afford to spend a lot of time on the phone. But we'd write letters. I mean, I communicated with my wife probably every day. We'd write a letter to one another.
And have you got those letters still?
I haven't got my letters, but I'm pretty sure that my wife still got the letters that I wrote.
Yeah. Would you ever pull them out and have a little read? Because that would be interesting reading, or do you not go back that far with your reminiscing?
There were some nights probably when I wrote those letters that I can't remember what I wrote, so it might have been a good idea to go and have a look at them.
What about cricket these days? Would you rather have played in your era, Doug, when you could have a dart and a beer? Maybe you even had a beer during the lunch session back in those days. You definitely were allowed to have a dart back in those days. Would you rather play now with the big checks and mobile phones and a little less camaraderie, perhaps, or did you like playing in your day?
Oh, no, I say to people that I'd just like to play present-day cricket for 1 year. That would do me. But then the rest I'd go back and play in our era, because we got away with a lot of things that they certainly can't get away with these days.
Mateship was something that was, you know, it was just part of the love of the sport, the fact that you'd loved your teammates pretty much. I'm sure you've had a couple you didn't get on with quite as much as others, but there was the camaraderie that we probably don't see today that was deep back in those days.
Yeah, I can't say there's anybody that I wouldn't like to tour with again. Out of all the guys that I went on tour or played cricket with, they were all tremendous guys. And I don't know whether they're handpicked before that, but no, there's no one that I wouldn't tour with.
Who'd you like rooming with the most?
Oh, well, we all had to have roommates. Rod Marsh and Brian Tabor, they're both wicketkeepers. All the wicketkeepers, I think, are probably the fun guys.
How does that work? Why is that?
Well, I'm not sure why. But it tends to be, if you go right back through all the wicketkeepers, they were all pretty good guys, and they all enjoyed pretty much the same things as I did in life.
Did you feel the pressure back then? Because it seemed as if you were playing for sheepstations every time you walked out to bat, and yet when you walked out to bat, it looked like you didn't have a care in the world quite often.
Well, it may have come over that way, but I certainly had a lot of cares. There's no doubt about that. I was just as concerned as anybody else, I can assure you of that. Well, I guess when we were playing against England, that was the real competition, really. I mean, you tried a little bit harder against them than anyone else.
And overcoming the fear, because you face some pretty fast guys with, you know, very little padding, no helmet. You know, a cap was about all you had. Now, you know, even the gloves would have been nothing like the gloves they wear today.
I think you get used to that. I mean, we had Tom Owen Lilly in our side, and people would say that, well, they wouldn't bowl cricket, you and the Nets. Well, we wanted them to bowl cricket, us and the Nets, otherwise we couldn't bat against the other fast bowlers around the world. So there were a lot of West Indian guys, for example, that there were a lot of other teams you'd rather be facing. Surprising enough, I'd done better against the West Indies than probably, well, I'm certainly done better against the West Indies than any other country.
And they could bowl as short as they wanted, as often as they wanted back in those days as well. So I knew they just had a bat that was pretty much just a stick.
Yeah, they had such a great bowling attack, and they had such a great team, really, to the middle of the middle late 70s. But they didn't waste any deliveries. They were all straight at the melon.
And you just had to be ready for it. That's pretty much all it was. When the helmet era came in, how did you see the evolution of cricket back in those days, late in your career, and where it had gone to at that point when you were just about giving it away? Because we sort of evolved into an era where it started to become more of a precise art and people were starting to think about their health and well-being a bit more than ever.
Yeah, well, the helmets come in a little bit too late for me and blokes of my era. It takes a lot of getting used to wearing a helmet. Now, the kids today, they start wearing them from the time they first start to play cricket. That's fine. But they do take a lot of getting used to. But they're something. They're like seat belts in cars. They save lives, so they're certainly a necessary evil.
Were there any players you didn't want to tour back in those days, be away for 7 months because of family or because of maybe the volatility of the area that you were touring?
I think I'm sure there were some, not particular. Well, there we go. Period of time, and there were quite a number of others. I'm sure. I just can't put my names to them at the moment.
But you didn't ever have a concern about being away or going to a place that you know was a little bit foreign. It was all part of the adventure.
India in 1969, there must have been better places to tour than India, or certainly the accommodation that we had to put up with and the food we had to put up with in India in 1969 wasn't great. But apart from the rest, it was fantastic.
And what do you think of the modern game? What do you think of the evolution of T20 and the way that one day has sort of come in prominence and now kind of been put back to number three on the list of forms of cricket behind, you know, T20 and Test?
Yeah, I can. T20, I quite enjoy T20. I never was a lover of 50-50 cricket. It's so predictable, but 2020. I mean, the closer, the shorter the game, the closer the contest is going to be in the finish. So 2020 is a lot, you get a lot closer games than 50-50. So even if you get a bad game of 2020, it's all over in 2 or 3 hours anyway. So that's it. But 50-50, you get a bad game of 50-50 and there are more bad games than good games. It takes 9 or 10 hours.
And do you think that we need to, as a world cricket body, make sure that we continue to have Test cricket as the priority, as the number one form? Don't let the other T20 take over?
We'll certainly, hopefully, Test cricket will be the priority. But we can. There is room for the other formats. I mean, I thought 50-50 would die a natural death when 2020 came in, but we had a World Cup in Melbourne a few years ago when the MCG, Australia wasn't playing in a game and there was 90,000 people at the MCG. So 50-50 cricket hasn't died, that's for sure.
And Steve, the fact that the game's evolved and Steve Smith's now, you know, become, you know, iconic again in the eyes of Australians, he's done his crime and he's done his time. How have you seen that situation dealt with by those two cricketers in general and dealt by the Australian fan who, you know, looked down on them for a while and has now given them a break?
Well, they've earned their reprieve, I think, haven't they? They had to come back and do great things. Warner struggled in England last year, but he's made up for it since with Steve Smith straight away, got back into the runs and... Well, he come back better than ever. So, yeah, they've done their sentence and they've earned their respect again.
And who do you like watching most now? Before I let you go, Doug, back to the races.
I certainly still enjoy watching Australia. The improvement that we've had over the last couple of years has been amazing. I didn't think we could come back as quickly as we did come back. Any batsman that goes out with the intent of hitting the ball and scoring runs at a good rate, I enjoy that.
And did you ever think that women's cricket would become so popular and so prominent?
I do a little bit of coaching with my old club side, Parramatta, and I've been coaching some of the girls, and women's cricket hasn't reached its peak yet, I can tell you. So there's some outstanding young girls coming along.
And some of those young girls, do you think, have got they'll have equal skills to the men, even though we probably will never see a female play for the Australian men's test team. But are there spinners coming through? Are there batswomen coming through that are just as good as the men?
Well, at the age that I see them, they're under 16, primarily under 16, they are equal to the boys at batting and bowling. But unfortunately, I don't tear away Dennis Lilly or a Jeff Thompson any of the local bowlers. So they just lack the pace. That's all. Their skill in spin bowling and batting and fielding is terrific, but the only thing that they let down is the pace.
And what about the facing of fast men? Do a lot of the girls handle it okay?
Yeah, they certainly handle the boys okay, and I'm sure that Lisa Healy would get a little bit of practice from her husband.
Yeah.
And they tell me she handles it because I haven't seen her actually bat again.
Just losing you, Doug, but it is great to allow me to come into your household and have a chat to you in between races. Really appreciate your time. Doug Walker is Australian cricket legend having a chat. 1-300-736-736. Take a few of your calls after the break. Doug Walters joining me for Dometic CFX3. Always have fresh food and cold drinks on hand thanks to the new Dometic CFX3. You at Dwayne's Walk.